St. Luke, in telling his Christmas story, says that the shepherds hastened to Bethlehem. Well, why wouldn't they hasten? You know, this sounds exciting. We're going to go see this new adventure. We're going to have something exciting on our horizon, and that's what we hasten toward. We hasten toward the show. We hasten toward the game. We hasten toward the play. We hasten toward what's happening. That's where we hasten toward. But as St. Luke tells us, that's not the whole story. You can't stay in the exciting place, in the happening place. You have to, St. Luke says, return. You have to return. And it doesn't say that they returned in haste either, because they were returning to the humdrum. They were returning to their jobs. They were returning to everyday life. And that's not cause for hastening. And I think that scene is kind of a really apt description of this New Year day that we are celebrating, because it reminds us of the fact that we're moving out of the Christmas season back into the ordinary, back into the everyday. This long lead up to Christmas, and it gets longer every year, is coming to an end. And now we are going to go back. We're going to return to life before December 24th. So that story of the shepherds is our story as well. But what difference did Christmas make? How are we different? How is the world different? Because we have celebrated Christmas. I think to understand that, we have to notice that in the gospel, St. Luke kind of weaves in the middle of that story that Mary kept all of these things in her heart and she reflected upon them. If we're going to know what Christmas means, if we're going to know what the presents mean and the parties mean and the family time means and the time for gifts means, then we're going to have to be like Mary. We're going to have to reflect on them in our hearts. You know, there's a cliche that experience is the best teacher, but that's not exactly true. It's reflecting on experience that teaches. Experience just happens. It's reflecting on experience that teaches. And Mary models that for us. She reflected, no doubt, on the name of her child. The name, we're told, Jesus, that was given to him by the angel before he was born. And so Mary, no doubt, took that into her heart. Jesus, that name, I have to reflect on that. Why would God have given this child this name, Jesus, this name which means Savior? How do I feel about that? That my son has been named Savior? Am I happy about that or sad about that? What's he saving us from? Or what's he saving us for? Is it just saving us from the Romans, or is there something much more personal? Mary have reflected, no doubt, on her own doubts and fears and worries and anxieties. Is that what he's saving us from? And she probably concluded that reflection by looking at the story, the biblical stories of Joshua, the other one who was named Savior, and how he had brought a people, a nomadic tribe scattered throughout that area of the Middle East into a single nation. And so Mary, reflecting on her heart, came to know the significance of this name, and it no doubt helped her as the eventual tragedies in her life took their toll. So my suggestion to us Let's add to our resolutions that we're going to lose weight and exercise more. A resolution to reflect during this year. To take all these things that are in our life and reflect upon them. We have to reflect on what is going on in our country with all of these divisions that exist. What is going on? What is God trying to teach us in this church, which is going through this crisis once again of sexual abuse? What is God telling us that my family continues to act in ways that drive me crazy? And one of the great tools, of course, in that reflection is by looking at the Bible and using that as the model, as the template for reflecting, as Mary did. Take the epistle today, St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, where we're told that God sent his son so that we could be adopted as children of God. And if children, then heirs as well. That's what St. Paul says. So if we reflect on that, well, what does it mean to be a child of God? What does that say to me? How do I feel when I am named a child of God? Is that kind of exciting to me? You know, I'm a child of God. That's pretty good. Or does it, it's a little bit daunting. Well, what's God going to ask me to do if I'm a child of God? You know, so we need to reflect on that and to see how it feels in our life, and then those implications as we reflect on it. Well, if Jesus came to make us children of God, then all those differences that we ordinarily notice, the differences between young and old, between citizens and aliens, between black folk and white folk, between city dwellers and suburbanites, all those distinctions pale to insignificance because there isn't anyone out there who isn't a child of God, heir to the promise. And we take that reflection then and we bring it into the scripture, into the life that we have, and we realize that when we've been all named children of God, then we are this one body of Christ. And anything that detracts from that is not of God. We celebrate on this New Year's Day the Feast of Mary. And Mary is held up for us, not for our admiration, but for our imitation. Can we be like Mary and take all the things that are in our life and reflect on them and see what they look like in the light of God? If we do, then 2019 will truly be a year of blessing. Amen.